did not feel isolated. They did not think as some young men of today think. Now what's the point of practicing? What's the point of believing? The whole world is going one way. The whole world is on one path. There's this MTV culture. There's this culture of football and of sport and of adoration and adulation of pop stars, of actors, of wealth, of drugs and happiness in women and in drugs and in everything else. The whole world is going one way. Governments, the whole civilization, the whole world, people, young and old, everybody. And here, on the other hand, we have a few people telling us, go the way of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's nothing in it. There's no happiness, there's no success, there's no izzah, there's no glory and dignity, and there's nothing but suffering. But those young men of the people of the cave did not think along these lines. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped them with iman, when He gave them faith, they also saw through the culture, the power, the economy, the wealth, and their own civilization, and they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned in the Quran and in the ahadith that the number of people, the number of these young men was such that one could count them on the fingers of one hand, of two hands. These young men, despite their small number, retreated, left their people, and secluded themselves to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They went against the whole of their civilization. It did not bother them. This is a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this continued all the way to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will always be different. We are expected to be different. We should be different, because this is our identity. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us. But we should have faith and we should have hope. Allah Azza wa Jalla will not abandon this ummah. Never. And we should never waver. We should never swerve. We should never buckle in our iman and faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in our belief that what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have promised will come to pass. Allah has promised glory and izzah to the believers, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ensure that happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised liberty and liberation to the Muslims, and inshaAllah that will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, as Allah says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرَسُولِي إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَوِيٌّ عَزِيزٌ. Allah has decreed that I and my messengers shall reign supreme. And Allah is Almighty, One of Power. Allah has made these promises. These few years of suffering, maybe we will live our entire lives and never see any izzah, never see any dignity and glory. But we should know that a time will come when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill this promise. No matter how bleak things may be, no matter how dark it may be, no matter how hopeless and despairing our circumstances may be, we should never ever despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His promise. Just look at the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. There was a time after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did hijrah to Medina, when things looked really bleak, when the Muslims and Islam faced the greatest threat in the history of Islam. This was in the fifth year of hijrah, when for the first time in Arabia, such a large army had been assembled from all of the corners of Arabia to march on Medina and to crush Islam and the Muslims once and for all. Approximately 12 to 13,000 soldiers came from the Quraysh, from the Bani Ghatfan, from all corners of Arabia in order to march to Medina, lay siege to the city and crush Islam and the Muslims once and for all. And that was the Battle of the Trench. Things looked so bleak that all of the Muslims were suffering. Even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was physically suffering. It was in those days during the Battle of the Trench that the Muslims faced a threat from outside, and they also faced a threat from within, because the last remaining tribe, Jewish tribe in Medina, had forsaken the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims despite their pledge, and they had abandoned the Muslims despite their promise to stand with them and defend the city jointly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims faced a joint threat from both inside the city and outside the city. Things were so tight, things were so difficult, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructed the Sahaba radiallahu anhu to dig a trench. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself participated. It's been mentioned in the hadith that the noble body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, including his hair, was covered from the tip of his head to his toe with the dust of the rocks of Medina, because he was digging the trench himself. It was in those days that some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the Kuffar had laid siege to the city of Medina. The Muslims could not leave. Their provisions had been stopped, and the whole city of Medina had been surrounded. It was in those days that some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst digging the trench and said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, pray for us because we have no food." And some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum lifted their shirts to show that because of their hunger and their bent backs, because of the hunger, some of the Sahaba in the tradition of the Arabs had fastened stones to their stomach so that they would feel the pain of the hunger much less, and that their backs could remain straight. It was on that time that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam lifted his noble cloak and showed than two rocks that were fastened to his own stomach. Imagine the suffering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Yet, despite this threat, imagine the hope and the belief not only of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam but the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Just as they say, the darkest hours of the night are just before the crack of dawn. Despite all this hostility and the siege of Medina, the believers did not swerve in their faith. But just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. When the believers, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, saw these factions of the kuffar converge upon them from all of the surroundings of Medina, imagine the time, imagine what must have happened in Medina at that time. Allah Azza wa Jalla, nobody can describe the state of fear and the fright in Medina at the time as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described it in Surah Al-Ahzab. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "O believers, remember the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. When these disbelievers came upon you, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرِ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا." Allah Azza wa Jalla describing the fright in Medina at the time, and the despair and the hopelessness in the minds of some people. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Remember when they came from above you, and when they came from beneath you, i.e. from all of the sides of Medina, and when the eyes became fixed, staring in horror and fright, and when because of fear the hearts jumped to the throats, and on that occasion you began thinking all kinds of thoughts about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On that occasion the believers were truly tested and they were shaken, a great shaking." Yet imagine the belief of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Allah says in the other verse that when these same believers saw these hordes and these factions of the kuffar come upon them, they said, "This is exactly what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have promised us, that we will be tested, and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam have spoken the truth." And this testing of Allah, this fear, this fright, this being laid siege to, this being surrounded, this being threatened with life and with death, this did not increase them, but in iman, in faith, and in submission. We should adopt the example of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and that of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that no matter how bleak things may be, never despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah has promised, Allah has made promises, and Allah will fulfill His promise. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "فَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهُ مُخْلِفَ وَعْدِهِ رُسُلَهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزِيزٌ ذُو انْتِقَامٍ." Do not ever consider Allah to be one who will fail in His promise to His messengers alayhimu salatu wassalam. Allah is Almighty, one of retribution. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in another verse of the Quran, "يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون." That they seek to extinguish the light of Allah with their feeble mouths. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring His nur and His light to completion, even though the disbelievers may detest it. It is He who has sent His messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with guidance and with the truth, so that He may cause His religion to prevail over all other religions. Over all other religions. Even though the mushrikeen may detest this, we should never despair in the mercy and in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how bleak things may be, just look at this beautiful example from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At the same time, in the Battle of the Trench, the city is surrounded by the largest army ever assembled in Arabia. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructing the Sahaba radiallahu anhum to dig the rocks in the battle of in the trench. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is himself covered in dust. Some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and say to him, Ya Rasulullah, there is a boulder which we cannot break and remove, and it is stuck in the trench. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, show me where's the boulder. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam descends into the trench. He asks for the pickaxe, and then the Sahaba radiallahu anhum are gathered in the trench with him. Some in the trench, others above, all are surrounding him, looking on. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts the pickaxe and with one single blow breaks off one third of the boulder. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum exclaim, Allahu Akbar, and they see a flash of light come from the boulder as soon as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hits it. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifts the pickaxe and then hits the boulder for the second time. They see another blinding flash of light. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum shouts, Allahu Akbar. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam strikes the boulder for the third time. And again the Sahaba radiallahu anhum see a blinding flash of light, and the boulder crumbles to dust. In three blows, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reduces a boulder that the Sahaba radiallahu anhum collectively could not move into to dust. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, covered in dust, standing in the trench, everybody fearful, it's cold because it was winter at the time, the Sahaba are hungry, they have rocks fastened to their stomachs. And in that state, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, did you see the blinding flashes of light? The Sahaba said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when I first hit the boulder and you saw that flash of light, in that light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the palaces and the wealth and the kingdom of Yemen and Abyssinia that Allah will give them to my ummah. Did you see the second flash of light? The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, yes. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me in that second flash of light the palaces, the wealth, and the kingdom of Rome that Allah will give them to the believers and my ummah. Did you see the third flash of light? In that third flash of light, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed me the palaces, the kingdom, and the wealth of Persia, and Allah promised me that He will give them to my ummah. The munafiqeen who were standing there, some of the munafiqeen were still there, they turned around in disgust and they said to one another mockingly, look at him. These words are actually mentioned in the hadith. Look at him. Some of us can't go to relieve ourselves at night because we are so fearful of the enemy attacking us. We can't even do istinja. And he stands here talking about conquering the empires of Persia, Yemen, Abyssinia and Rome. But this is what Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised, and Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have spoken the truth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not see this promise realized in his own lifetime, but not long after his own death and departure from the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave his successors, his followers, and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and his ummah, even though he never got to see it, exactly what he promised. Similarly to us today, things are bleak, it's dark. This may be the darkest part of the night before the crack of dawn. We are surrounded on all sides. We are submerged in fitna. Apparently, there's no hope. The ummah is demoralized and divided. We appear to be defeated, and some of us are even doubting the words of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are faltering and swerving and wavering in our faith, and we have become overawed by the civilization of by other civilizations, so much so that we want to abandon our faith and go the other way. Never let us take hope from what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the time of the Battle of the Trench. And we, in our lifetimes, some of us, we may die, and we may never see Masjid al-Aqsa liberated. Some of us may die, we may never again see the rise and the ascension of the Muslims in any way. Maybe all of us who are present here will die, and things will be the same as they are now. Some of us may despair, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise may be fulfilled long after us. So what's our duty in these days of fitna? Whilst we are being tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will be tested, we should take comfort in the promise that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us, and in the hope and the encouragement that he has given us, that in these days of fitna, in these days of hardship, as long as we are patient, as long as we believe in Allah and have faith in Him, then even the little that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us immensely. There is great hope in this ummah. Let us not despair. In a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi wa sallam, from Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَثَلُ أُمَّتِي كَمَثَلِ الْمَطَرِ لَا يُدْرَى أَوَّلُهُ خَيْرٌ أَمْ آخِرُهُ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the example of my ummah is like the rain. One does not know whether the early part of the rain is better or the latter part. In that, this ummah is like rain. Just as rain falls, nobody knows whether the first drops of the rain cause the vegetation to grow. Nobody knows whether the last remaining drops of the rain cause the fruit to grow and for the earth to flourish and bloom and blossom. Nobody knows. Similarly, this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is blessed. It's blessed in such a way that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself says, maybe more good can come from this ummah in the latter days than even in the first days. And nobody knows. This ummah is like the rain. Maybe the first part is better, maybe the last part is better. This is the hope that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. We should not despair. Despite our sins, despite our weakness, Allah has given us a great gift of Iman, and we should not despair. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with such a great treasure and wealth. We have the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though we may never get to see anything, we may suffer in this life, we may be persecuted, as long as we have hope, realizing that even the little that we do, we will be immensely rewarded for it, as long as we are patient. In a hadith related by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, one of the Tabi'een relates that I was sitting with Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, this famous companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when a woman who was his maid, this maid came to him and she said, إني أردت الخروج يا أبا عبد الرحمن اشتد علينا الزمان. That, oh Abu Abd al-Rahman, oh Abdullah ibn Umar, I want to leave Medina. Why? Because things have become extremely difficult for us. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu became angry and said, اقعدي يا لقع. That, oh woman, sit down, remain seated. Do not go anywhere. فإني سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا يصبر على لأوائها وشدتها أحد إلا كنت شفيعا له أو شهيدا يوم القيامة. I have heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم say that whoever remains patient at the hardships and the difficulties of the days of fitna, I, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, shall be his intercessor and his witness on the day of judgment. Let it remain where you are, remain as you are, and remain patient, despite the days of fitna, despite the hardships and difficulties. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will, insha'Allah, be our intercessor and our witness on the day of judgment. In another hadith related by Sayyidina Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiallahu ta'ala an, and recorded by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Musnad, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-ibadatu fil fitna kal hijrati ilayh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, practicing Islam and remaining faithful to one's religion in the days of fitna is equivalent in reward to doing hijrah from Makkah to Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine, al-ibadatu fil fitna kal hijrati ilayh. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that hijrah was the greatest obligation upon the believers. Those who did hijrah were forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even in the Quran, Allah draws a distinction between those who did hijrah before the conquest of Makkah and those who were never able to do hijrah. The muhajireen, sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, will always remain superior to the rest of the ummah because of this one great deed that they performed, which was performing hijrah and emigrating from Makkah to Medina to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told the likes of you and me that long after him, in the days of fitna, as long as we remain faithful and we continue to worship Allah in the days of fitna, Allah will grant us a reward equivalent to the reward of the muhajirin sahaba radiyallahu anhum, equivalent to the reward of doing hijrah from Makkah to Medina. Allahu Akbar. And in another hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi, Imam Abu Dawud, and Imam Ibn Majah in their Sunan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's a very famous hadith, where Abu Tha'labah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was approached by a tabi'i, who said to him, O Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, tell us about this verse of the Quran. How do you explain this verse of the Quran? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يُغُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. That, O believers, concern yourselves only with yourselves, and let not those who go astray harm you, because they cannot harm you, as long as you have found guidance. Some of the people have misunderstood that verse, just as people misunderstand it today. And some of the people were misunderstanding it and saying that there is no need to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Concern yourself only with yourself. So this Tabi'i went to Abu Tha'labah radiyallahu anhu, the Sahabi, and said to him, how do you understand this verse? Should we only concern ourselves with ourselves and forget everybody else? And not do Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi anil Munkar, not enjoin the good and forbid the evil? So Abu Tha'labah radiyallahu anhu said to him, لَقَدْ سَأَلْتَ عَنْهَا خَبِيرًا. Indeed, you have asked someone who has the most knowledge regarding this ayah. فَإِنِّي سَأَلْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. For I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the same verse. And in explanation of this verse, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, بَلْتَمِرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حَتَّى إِذَا رَأَيْتَ شُحًّا مُطَاعًا وَهَوًا مُتَّبَعًا وَدُنْيَا مُؤْثَرَةً وَإِجَابَ كُلِّ ذِي رَأْيٍ بِرَأْيِهِ فَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاصَّةِ أَمْرِكَ وَدَعِ الْأَوَامَ فَإِنَّ مِنْ وَرَائِكُمْ أَيَّامًا الصَّبْرُ فِيهِنَّ عَلَى الدِّينِ كَمِثْلِ الْقَبْضِ عَلَى الْجَمْرِ لِلْعَامِلِ فِيهِنَّ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ 50 رَجُلٍ يَعْمَلُونَ مِثْلَ عَمَلِكُمْ قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مِثْلُ أَجْرِ 50 مِنَّا أَوْ مِنْهُمْ قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لا بل أجر 50 منكم. سيدنا أبو ثعلبة رضي الله عنه said, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Continue to do this until you see greed which is followed, and until you see passions and desires that are obeyed, and until you see dunya being given preference in everything, and until you see people becoming obsessed with their own opinion. When you see these things, then concern yourself only with yourself and forget the rest of the people, because after this will come days in which remaining firm upon one's religion will be like holding on to burning cinders. But the reward of a person practicing his faith and doing good deeds in such days of fitna will be like the reward of 50 men who do the deeds of you, meaning the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, will such a person who continues to do good deeds in these days of fitna, when remaining steadfast upon one's religion is like holding on to burning cinders, will he enjoy the reward of 50 men amongst them, or 50 of us Sahaba? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, but ajr khamsina minkum, he shall enjoy the reward of 50 of you. Imagine the reward of 50 Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum for practicing in these days. I end with one hadith. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us a great opportunity. Allah has given us hope. And even though we may be weak in this age of fitna, even the little that we do, there is hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us immensely for it, and Allah will give us much for it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still give us Jannah, in a hadith related by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan, from Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْكُمْ عُشْرَ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ هَلَكْ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ مَنْ عَمِلَ فِيهِمْ بِأُشْرِ مَا أُمِرَ بِهِ نَجَى. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, you live in a time when if one of you was to leave a tenth of what he has been instructed to do in his religion, he will be destroyed, he will perish. Then a time will come upon the people when if a person amongst them only does one tenth of what he has been instructed to do, Allah in His mercy will still deliver him from the fire of Jahannam and grant him entry into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to understand. May Allah make us amongst those who remain firm and steadfast upon this religion, even in this day of and in this age of fitna and persecution. May Allah azza wa jalla make us strong, and may He give us the tawfiq to remain perseverant despite the hardships and difficulties that we may face, and despite this fitna of women, of wealth, at home, of children, of family, of wealth and of life outside, this fitna of culture, this fitna of our relationship with the disbelievers, this fitna of being persecuted and of being taunted and tormented at times even, may He give us a tawfiq to remain perseverant and patient and steadfast upon our faith. May Allah Azza wa Jalla take us away from this world with iman in our hearts, and grant us the tawfiq for the remaining part of our lives to do such deeds that bring us closer to Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grant us entry into Jannah. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulih nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahum bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.
This lecture was given by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyad al-Haq and has been presented to you by the Islamic Sharia Institute. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121 773 5191, or alternatively by post at the Islamic Sharia Institute, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10 0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website www.sharia-institute.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.